Coming up, we are going to learn about the end-to-end experience about Arc-enabled Azure SQL managed instances running in direct connected mode. I'm here with Travis Wright, Group Engineering Lead at Azure SQL. Hi, Travis.
Hey, Thomas. Good to see you.
So we talked previously about having indirected and direct connected mode for Azure Arc-enabled data services. Can you explain us a little bit more about the direct connected mode and what the use cases are?
Yeah, so the direct connected mode is especially interesting for customers because it gives them an additional functionality by being directly connected to Azure. And that really comes in the form of sort of these three categories of different things that you can do because you're directly connected to Azure. The first is that the inventory and billing information will automatically flow to Azure. So it's just a continuous feed up there, and you can in real time from the Azure portal see the database instances that you have provisioned on Arc-enabled SQL managed instance or PostgreSQL. The billing information will flow immediately so you can get a real-time view of your costs as well. The second category is that you get an additional set of user experiences. So you can do things like operate everything from the Azure portal or through ARM APIs or using the Azure CLI through those ARM APIs. And the last category of additional things you get by being directly connected to Azure is that you can take advantage of some of the other Azure services that surround those database services. Things like Azure Monitor, Azure Log Analytics, Azure Active Directory for authentication, Azure role-based access control for authorization, and so on, right? So you kind of get the benefit of all those surrounding Azure services by being directly connected to Azure.
Okay, so this sounds like there are a lot of benefits to actually run it in connected mode.
Right.
Can you tell me a little bit more about what the requirements are if I want to run the data controller in direct connected mode?
Yeah, so if you want to run Arc-enabled data services in directly connected mode, there are some prerequisites, right? And that kind of falls into three categories. You know, first, of course, you have to have an Azure subscription and a Kubernetes cluster that you're going to deploy onto, right? The second thing is that you do need to have that connectivity to Azure. That could go over public internet if you want, using SSL for encryption on the wire. You can use VPN, you can use ExpressRoute, and coming soon, we'll also have support for Private Link. And then the last thing is that there's a dependency here on Arc-enabled Kubernetes to enable a secure communication channel back and forth between Azure and that Kubernetes cluster that you have. So you do need to connect your Kubernetes cluster to Azure using Arc-enabled Kubernetes first.
Well, I love the part also with the private link support, obviously, and that this makes a lot of sense to also protect the way you connect your data to Azure. Now, obviously, we have a lot of customers thinking and having like concerns when it comes to security and data privacy. And they're obviously asking now the question, like, what data gets actually sent to Azure?
Yeah, this is a very important question, you know, obviously. You know, and the nice thing about Arc-enabled data services is that it gives you the flexibility of storing your data, the data inside of your databases, wherever you want, right? In your data center, in AWS, in an edge site, where you control where that location of your actual database data is, right? But there are some additional types of data, I think of it more like metadata about those databases, that can be stored in Azure, right? So for example, we need to know about the inventory of the database instances that you have provisioned, right? So that we can bill you for those database instances. So you can see them in the Azure portal and have that inventory view of it and have that be stored in Azure Resource Manager. So that's one piece of data that's kind of required to be sent to Azure just for the billing purposes, right? Beyond that, you know, and even in that case, your databases stay wherever you want them, right? So that actual application data stays wherever you want. It doesn't have to be in Azure, right? Then there's another kind of type of data which is more optional. You can optionally choose to send your logs and your performance metrics and things like that up to Azure Log Analytics in a workspace that you control, or into Azure Monitor, right? And that's optional, has its own costs associated with this, so that's something to consider. But that's, you know, a way where you can aggregate all of that data together into one place. So there's a lot of details about what data is collected and not collected, what you have optionality over, and so on. So we've documented all of this in a new article we've published recently to the documentation. So recommend customers go and check that out, make sure they understand exactly what's going on there. And one thing to kind of importantly call out here is that that metadata, you control which Azure region that metadata is stored in. So if you don't want the metadata even to leave your country boundary, for example, you can make sure that that metadata stays inside of a particular Azure region, like Southeast Asia, for example.
Okay, so looking at this and all of that, and obviously speaking with a lot of customers, that already makes it like really usable for a lot of customers. And you get, again, with all the benefits in addition, if you don't have the requirements where really not even the metadata is allowed to go, or where you have restrictions on your network connectivity, or you don't have network connectivity in these cases, I think it makes a lot of sense to choose the connected mode. So obviously you explained all of this a little bit. Can you show a little bit of an overview to this, like how this all looks a little bit together?
Yeah, so let's take a look at an architecture diagram just to kind of set the context before we start diving into the demos. There's kind of a lot going on here, so let's just start at the bottom, right? Of course, we're dealing with databases here, so there needs to be some form of persistent storage. This can be storage which is local hard disks, SSDs or whatever, on the physical nodes. Can be remote shared storage, can be blob storage. There's a variety of different storage plugins that are provided to Kubernetes by all the major storage players in the market, whether they're traditional hardware storage players or they are public cloud storage players. Lots of different options here. And it's all abstracted away because this is all sitting on top of Kubernetes, right? So when you deploy Arc-enabled data services, you need to have a Kubernetes cluster. It can be, again, in your own data center, or it could be using a public cloud Kubernetes service like Azure Kubernetes Service or EKS in AWS. Doesn't really matter. There's a certain set of sort of Kubernetes distributions that we officially test and support. And you can choose from any of those and deploy your Kubernetes cluster first. And then on top of that, that's where we then start to deploy what we call the Arc Data Controller. And the data controller is kind of the brains of the operation. Think of it as like a Kubernetes operator, if you're familiar with that concept. And it's the one that provides sort of the interfaces to the Kubernetes API, and it provides all of the different management services, things like the built-in monitoring, the built-in backup and point-in-time restore, automatic updates, and so on. And it also facilitates this back and forth communication to Azure in the direct connected mode, where we're sending up the resource inventory information, the billing, optionally the logs and metrics, or your backups for long-term offsite retention. And we're also taking in actions and updating of the advanced data security service policies by bringing those down from Azure. Now, as we kind of talked about earlier, there's a variety of different user experiences and tools that come into play here. Some of those tools, like the Azure CLI or Azure Data Studio or the Kubernetes native tools, they talk directly to the Kubernetes API locally, so you don't have to have a connection out to Azure. If you do have a connection to Azure, like in the direct connected mode, like we're talking about here, then you can use the Azure portal, the Azure CLI through the ARM APIs, or Azure Data Studio through the ARM APIs to operate everything. And you can be then anywhere in the world where you have a connection to Azure. It could be on a plane or in the coffee shop or whatever. As long as you have a connection to Azure through these tools, then you can operate everything inside of here by having those actions go back and forth over this secure communication channel here, established by Arc enabling your Kubernetes cluster.
Okay, this is pretty cool. And I imagine, like I spoke to a lot of customers who, for example, are operating factories or retail stores all over in the world. And for them, it's an absolute hassle to actually manage all these VPN connections for management of these like Kubernetes clusters, servers, or in that case, databases. And so with this connected mode, I actually can control them and I don't need to like really care about setting up these VPN connections. I really can manage them through Azure, if you will, like an Azure service. So that is pretty awesome.
From that point of view, it really wouldn't feel any different than operating something inside of Azure infrastructure. Yeah.
Okay, so this is really cool. Now, we definitely want to have a look at this. So you have a quick demo, I heard.
Yeah, let's get into the demo. All right, so diving right in here, the first thing I wanted to show you, Thomas, is how we can get everything set up from basically just the point where I have a Kubernetes cluster and I'm ready to connect it to Azure and then be able to deploy the data controller, start deploying some Azure SQL instances onto it, and then be able to manage it from Azure using that directly connected mode that we talked about. So the first step in this process is to take your Kubernetes cluster and connect it to Azure. And the way that you do this is using the Azure CLI and running this command az connected k8s connect and giving your connected Kubernetes cluster a name and specifying which resource group you want it to be deployed into. And the Azure CLI will use your current Kubernetes context that you have configured to connect to the Kubernetes API and deploy a bunch of pods onto your Kubernetes cluster. So I'm not going to actually run that command because it takes a couple minutes to actually get everything going. I just want to kind of quickly go through this. I've already run that command before, and this is what the result of it is you can actually see that all of these pods right here are provisioned to enable Arc-enabled Kubernetes. And this is now a connected Kubernetes cluster, and these agent pods right here are taking care of the back and forth communication with Azure. They're enabling the GitOps scenarios for Arc-enabled Kubernetes. And importantly, this will enable some scenarios like resource sync that we will see here in a minute. And that enables Arc-enabled data services, as well as other Arc-enabled services like web apps and functions and things like that to also be deployed to this connected Kubernetes cluster. Now, let's go up to the Azure portal and you'll see what I'm talking about. So in this particular case, I Arc-enabled an Azure Kubernetes Service cluster. So this is an AKS cluster running in Azure. It's in this same resource group here, but it could be any Kubernetes cluster anywhere. Now, when I made that Kubernetes cluster, that AKS cluster, a connected cluster, it created a new resource here that, as you saw in my terminal window here, I named AKS-connected-cluster, and that name shows up here. And you can see that this is, you know, for an AKS cluster, there's a standard AKS cluster, the resource type is Kubernetes service. For an Arc-enabled Kubernetes resource, the resource type is Kubernetes-Azure Arc. And you can see here that I've also Arc-enabled some Kubernetes clusters in EKS, in AWS, in GKE, in Google Cloud, as well as an on-premises cluster. You know, that gives you that flexibility of being able to take any Kubernetes cluster that you have anywhere, and by simply running that one command we just saw, Arc-enable that Kubernetes cluster so that it then becomes connected to and managed by Azure. Now, in this case, I've also already deployed the Arc-enabled data services extension to this Kubernetes cluster so that the data services are now ready to be provisioned onto this Kubernetes cluster. So at this point, we're ready to deploy the data controller, and we can do this directly from the marketplace. I've already kind of set up this tab here to go to the marketplace and search for Azure Arc Data Controller. You can click on this tile here, click create, because this experience should be familiar to everybody that's provisioned resources in the Azure portal. Now, here is where you kind of see that all important choice about which connectivity mode you're going to choose. And you can deploy a data controller in the direct connected mode or in the indirectly connected mode right here from the Azure portal. If you go down this indirectly connected mode path, will prompt you to provide all the information that's necessary to deploy a data controller. And at the end of this wizard, we will actually generate a notebook that you can then open in Azure Data Studio, point it at your Kubernetes cluster, and deploy the data controller in an indirectly connected mode. In this case, since we're gonna focus on directly connected mode in this session, I'm gonna keep this selected here, and we're gonna click on Next. And here we can choose our subscription and resource group like we always do. We can give our data controller a name, like demo data controller. And here is a really important thing where we can choose a custom location. Normally you would choose an Azure location, like some Azure region like East US or East Asia or something. In this case, because we're deploying to a Kubernetes cluster that exists in some customer infrastructure someplace, the way that we handle this targeting of where the data controller will be deployed is to choose a custom location. Now I've pre-created one that will target my Kubernetes cluster, and that just shows up here in this dropdown so that I can sort of choose to target that Arc-enabled Kubernetes cluster that we just created. And here we can choose our configuration template for Kubernetes. In this case, because we're deploying on AKS, I will choose one of the AKS configuration templates, but you can see that we have some here for EKS and GKE, for OpenShift on-premises, and so on. So lots of sort of default ones, and then if you really need to, you can go into the custom profile and set all the different settings yourself. But this just is kind of the easy button. We default the storage class value for you. We choose the service type most appropriate for the AKS, and just kind of makes it easy. Now here, we're gonna just go ahead and provide the usual kind of login, username and password here. Here, we're gonna provide a GUID. This is just some dummy data. And then we'll click on additional settings here. And this is where we can choose to provide a log analytics workspace where we want to upload all the logs to, right? And this is an optional thing. You can turn this on or off. If you turn it on and you provide us a workspace ID and a primary key, then we will automatically upload all the logs to that log analytics workspace. And we'll see how that looks here in a minute. Just like any other resource in Azure, you can also specify your tags. And at this point, you're done and you're ready to create your data controller. Now, again, because this takes a few minutes to actually do the deployment, I've already done this for us ahead of time. I just wanted to give you a feel for what this looks like to deploy a data controller. Now, if I go back here to my terminal window and I go to this tab here, I'm going to run this kubectl get namespace, which will show me the namespaces in my Kubernetes cluster. This is the one that contains all the Arc-enabled Kubernetes pods we were just looking at on this tab here. And now you can see there's another namespace here that I named Arc. And if I do a kubectl get pod in the Arc namespace, you'll see that all these pods have been deployed here. Now, these pods are the data controller pods. These are the pods that provide all of the different management functionality, like the automated backup and point in time restore, the built-in monitoring, like you can see the logs UI here and the metrics UI. It also provides all the self-service provisioning and deprovisioning, elastic scalability, automatic updates, and so on. And that's all provided by these pods that are deployed as part of provisioning that data controller onto this Kubernetes cluster. Now, let's go back to the Azure portal. And we'll see here that because I already deployed this data controller is now also represented in Azure as a resource. So you can see here that this is a data controller resource type, and we've got it named demo data controller. It's in this resource group and so on. We can see which namespace it's in. We just saw that was in the Arc namespace in our Kubernetes cluster, and that the connectivity mode is direct. So this helps us sort of understand which data controllers we have. You can see that we've got a bunch of them deployed in this subscription here for test purposes. And that way it just becomes sort of just another resource that we manage through Azure Resource Manager in the Azure portal. Okay, so now that we've got this all set up, now we're ready to start provisioning actual SQL managed instances or PostgreSQL hyperscale databases. So I've gone into the marketplace, I searched for Azure Arc just to kind of find all of the things that are related to Azure Arc. So you can see here, there's the data controller we just deployed. Here we've got Azure SQL Managed Instance, and here we've got Azure Database for PostgreSQL Hyperscale for Azure Arc. So I could deploy either one of them right here from the Azure portal. So let's do Azure SQL Managed Instance. We'll go through the usual experience here. Now in this case, we're gonna do the same thing as we always do, pick our subscription and resource group. Here we'll call this demo SQL 2. And then here again, we're going to choose our custom location. We're going to target that same demo data center custom location. And we're going to choose our service type. In this case, load balancer is the most appropriate when we're running inside of a managed Kubernetes environment like in AKS. And we're going to provide the default instance admin password. Okay, and now we're ready to review and create, and to then click create here. Now this will kick off the usual sort of deployment experience. And this will now go through the Arc-enabled Kubernetes communication channel down to our Kubernetes cluster and start the provisioning process of that SQL instance. Now you can see here that I've already provisioned one called demo-sql1. We should see another one come in here called demo SQL 2. So I'm going to just run this command here, mon arc, which will monitor the, so you can see that the arc namespace here. You can see that we already see that SQL instance coming down here, demo SQL 2. It's going into this pending state first, and then it'll come up and be provisioned onto this Kubernetes cluster. And as soon as that's done, then we will see that this is now a resource in Azure, just like any other SQL managed instance in PaaS or Azure SQL Database. It's just a resource in Azure. It's in a resource group. It's in the subscription. We can even see the endpoint that was provisioned for it, and we can connect to that. You can see that it's in the Arc namespace and so on. Now, what I want to do is I want to go to the one that we provisioned a little bit earlier, because here we've already started to kind of collect some data about it. So what I want to show you here is how we're automatically sending the metrics up to Azure as well as the logs. So here I've got Demo SQL 1 instance. I'm on the metrics tab. I go here to this metrics namespace, and you can see that we have this SQL Server namespace. And here you can see the first of the sets of metrics that we're uploading now. So we can take a look at, for example, CPU usage. You know, I just created this not too long ago, so there's only a little bit of data here. And you can also do, you know, memory utilization. That's pretty, you know, flat there for now. Transactions per second. And you can even do things like, let's say we wanted to do a new alert rule on the CPU utilization. We can come in here and say, hey, anytime the CPU utilization is greater than 90% over a period of 5 minutes, and you evaluate that every 5 minutes, then I want you to alert me, right? So I can set up an alert like that, set up my notification action to maybe send me an email. So this is a really great way to leverage these built-in capabilities in Azure by sending this metric data up to Azure, and then you can leverage that inside of Azure Monitor. Now, we also have integration with Azure Cost Management. So this is an example of a resource group that I have that I use for testing purposes on a regular basis. So I have some test instances in here. Inside of Azure Cost Management, I can go in and I can see which instances I have, what their total cost is, and so on. And right now, since this is still in preview, of course, the cost is $0, but over time, as this goes into general availability and we turn on those billing meters, then we'll start to see the actual cost for those SQL managed instances that are deployed through Azure Arc, just like we would see them for any other resource in Azure. And then lastly, I want to show the log analytics integration. So when I deployed that data controller, if you'll remember, we specified the log analytics workspace that we wanted to upload all of the logs to. And so here we can see in the custom log section here, we can take a look at the SQL managed instances logs. We can execute a query on this, and we'll see all of the log entries come back that were uploaded to Azure. And so, you know, for people that are familiar with the SQL error log, this entry should look very familiar, where you can see the message about which database type it is. You can see this is an Azure SQL Database Managed Instance in Azure Arc. And then we can see some of the other log entries. As this database instance came up, it would output more sort of stuff to this error log, and that's all captured and uploaded here to Azure Log Analytics. And we can see that, you know, some of these columns here, we have things like which database instance it is, right here, this one. So we can filter on it by database instance, we can group these messages by that, and so on. So it gives a lot of flexibility in terms of querying for log entries for any of the database instances that are managed by the Arc data controller locally within that Kubernetes cluster, but then leveraging that power of being able to upload that to log analytics and be able to do those log analytics types queries that we see here inside of the Azure portal. And importantly, it also enables a scenario where you could have multiple data controllers, each of which are deployed into multiple different data centers or clouds or edge sites, and send all of that data to one log analytics workspace. You can aggregate that data together across all of those different environments. Hopefully this is a kind of a good tour of what the user experience looks like when you're running in that directly connected mode, and you can deploy and operate everything from right here inside of the Azure portal. And everything really feels native to what people would expect to have as an experience in terms of how they're used to using the Azure portal.
So this is pretty awesome. Again, it feels like a native Azure service, and I can manage that like it would run in Azure, but it's actually running locally in your own data center or even at other cloud providers. So really love the direct connected mode here when it comes to that scenario. So before we say we go obviously into the next session where we talk more about the indirect connected mode, is there any resources you want to share to people who actually want to learn more about this?
Yeah, the easiest thing to do is just go to aka.ms/AzureArcData. And that'll take you to sort of the landing page for Arc-enabled data services. And there you can learn more about it and dive into the docs and figure out how to deploy it in your own environment.
Okay, so thank you very much, Travis. And for those who are watching, if you want to learn more about hybrid or multi-cloud architectures, check out our Cloud Adoption Framework and the Azure Architecture Center.